Amen. And be seated. Amen. And it's a beautiful day, other than being a tad chilly. So much for understatement, right? But what a great weekend. I had a beautiful wedding here yesterday, and just a wonderful time with that. A great celebration of a young couple right here in the church. Pretty much grew up together, especially their teen years, and praise the Lord. Just a great example of parents doing what God says, young people doing what God says, steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, and watching God bring that together, and just a lot of fun. And of course, myself being involved as their pastor for their growing up years, their teen years especially, and being able to spend some time with them. Is this on? I don't think it is. Either that or the battery's dead. Let's try it. What? There we go. All right. Very good. But anyway, just a beautiful wedding. And I had several young people comment that its purity is worth it. They watched the ceremony. You know what was funny is all the pictures people took of Kendall standing up here waiting for Monica to come down that aisle. And I've never really noticed that before, but there were cameras all over just watching his face. And that is so good. And they certainly are rejoicing that they stayed pure for each other. And it does mean something. I'm praying that we'll have a revival of purity among Christians. And it is so important. It really is. Well, we're in the book of Revelation. And we're in Revelation 1. Kind of going through many verses in Revelation 1, not necessarily verse by verse, but we will cover every verse in Revelation 1. And so by the time we are finished with several lessons, you'll think, wow, did we go through all of Revelation 1? And we will, but that will be a little ways off. But we're talking about the author is revealed. We have broken the book of Revelation into seven sections. And the first section is the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the revealing, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. That is what Revelation is all about. And Roman numeral 1 of section 1 is the heavenly author, the heavenly author. And we're talking about the author is revealed and then the heavenly author, and then there is the human author that we will talk about as well. But we're still on the heavenly author, and it's very clear in Revelation 1 that God, of course, is the author. We've broken that down because the Bible seems to break it down as the and shows us the Trinity. And the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all in Revelation 1 here as the signers of the letter, I guess we could call that. And it starts off in verse 4, John to the seven churches. Of course, John being the human author, John to the seven churches, which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. And then from him, which is, which was, which is to come, that's the Father. And from the seven spirits, that's the Holy Spirit. And verse 5, and from Jesus Christ. And so broken down, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have already looked at capital A, the Father. We just finished with capital B, the Son. And today we start on capital C, the Holy Spirit. But let's go ahead and do our memory verse, Revelation 1:1. And go ahead and turn there or look there on your outline. Does anyone need lesson number 2? We've been on lesson 2 for quite a while now, and we're not done with it by any means. But if you need lesson 2, raise your hand, and you can kind of follow along, although we're just going to cover one point today. All right, very good. Looks like everybody has that. All right, let's go ahead and say our memory verse, Revelation 1:1. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again, and begin. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Revelation 1:1, and again, Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Revelation 1:1. Father, I do pray that you'll bless now our time together. I pray that it would be profitable, that we'll learn some things that perhaps we did not know, but mostly that our lives would be different because of something that you show us from your word and from your Holy Spirit's convicting power. I pray you'll speak to us now. Be with every Sunday school class, especially, Lord, I pray for anyone who may be here who's not saved, that you'd save them today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go back to capital C, Roman number 1, capital C. And I don't know about you, but if you took notes, capital B should look something like this. Does anybody's capital B look something like that? Anyone? Let me see. Come on, show me. All right, there's some. Looks like that. Good, good. In other words, there should be lots and lots of notes on there because you have all kinds of information. And again, that to me was just a precious section. I don't know what it did for you, but I found myself in that section talking about Jesus. We went over our class time every time, and I don't typically do that in Sunday school, but it's so hard to stop. I hope you feel that way. When we're talking about Jesus, I hope it's like that to you, that it's just hard to stop talking about Jesus. It's just hard to find a place where it's good to just stop. I like the song, Let's Talk About Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, Supreme, throughout eternity. Amen. And we should talk much about Jesus. So we come to capital C, the Holy Spirit, and I've got right above it, I just wrote to remind us all that there is a lot of speculation in the book of Revelation. There are many things that are cut and dried, no doubt about it. Here's what it says. But there's some speculation in Revelation. We started in our introduction and talked about that. Some things it doesn't say. And therefore, if it doesn't say in the Scripture, we might disagree on some things. And we've already talked about some of those things, and we're authors and good men. They believe doctrinally, they're all solid, they're together on doctrine, but they might not agree with a certain thing. There is some speculation. Certainly as we get as times go on and things start to become obvious to us, I guess what I want to say is things that we maybe in the past we would have said, that can't be possible. Now we see it's possible. The mark, the 666, no man could buy or sell. You can't eat. You know, you can't go get food and all of that. And the idea that there would ever be the kind of power to watch people, that there would ever be the kind of a system set up where people would have to have a mark in order to buy or sell. People would have said that's pretty far-fetched, and we can't imagine how that. Well, now we're seeing how that can happen. Very, very easily. And then, in fact, with our new healthcare system, it is my understanding that there's talk about a biometrics card. I'm not sure if that's the right term, a bio something or other card. In other words, an ID card that everybody would carry, and it'll have everything about you on that card. And it has to be tied in with your eyes, fingerprints, whatever, different identifications. And it'll have everything about you. Bank account, bank information, job information, social security information, disability information, everything about you. And we know there's computers now. Your computer at home can handle stuff like that now. And it is my understanding that, this is a huge, huge controversy. There would be a GPS. And of course, my thoughts, since these kinds of things, is that they'll eventually install that chip in a person, which we'll like it, because it'll be very convenient. And I think that the day is coming, if Jesus doesn't return, I think we'll see the day where we walk in a store and you never check out, you don't check in, you don't do anything. It knows you're there when you get there, and your account and your information is all there, because when you walked in, you got scanned, and whatever you buy gets scanned as you take it, and you just walk in, you get your stuff, you walk out, your account is charged, and their inventory is taken care of, no money changes hands, nobody gets robbed. I like it. I mean, honestly, wouldn't that be nice? Come on. Now, you say, well, you know, something like that. Now, again, you say, well, I don't know if I agree. Oh, it's okay. It's just speculation on that. And so some things are, you know, we do speculate and we if you look at as many commentaries as I look at, and some of you actually do, you'll see that people don't always agree on some of these things where the Bible doesn't say. And for example, verse 4, when it talks about the seven spirits, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, it doesn't say that's the Holy Spirit. I believe that is talking about the Holy Spirit. But there are good people that would not agree. Some people think that's talking about angels. But I'll mention that and talk about that. But I'm going to teach that represents the Holy Spirit. I believe that. I don't understand all of that. I will have to speculate on why it's seven spirits. But I think I'll give you a good answer on that and something you can hold on to. But I believe that is referring to the Holy Spirit of God. And so we have a letter that John, verse 4, John wrote, John to the seven churches. He is the human human instrument used. And then he says, though, clearly it's from these or from him, which is to come, obviously referring to the Father, from the seven spirits. I believe that is the Holy Spirit, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ. And so again, let's understand the Trinity. The Trinity is not three gods. The Trinity is simply God and how he has chosen to describe himself. I can describe myself as a pastor, a husband, and a father. When my parents were alive, I could also be described as a son. In all those different positions, I did not do everything the same. In all those positions, I was as a pastor. I handled some things in certain ways that was different than I would as a son. As a father, I certainly handled things different than I might, and I had a different function as a father than I did as a husband. And we all understand that. Well, I think if we look at the Trinity that way, it will help us to understand we don't have three gods. We have one God who has simply chosen to show us what he does and his position as a father, as the son, and as the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's beautiful when we look at it that way. Being a father and being also a son and being a husband or being a pastor or whatever. I mean, I wish people would look at that sometimes. You know, I wish people would. I wish that people would understand that we do have a different function with our different titles that we carry and the different hats that we wear. And anyway, so the capital C, the Holy Spirit. And look at John 16, verse 13. It only makes sense. Again, we are revealing Jesus. The book of Revelation is all about unveiling Jesus Christ. John chapter 16 and verse 13. When somebody says, you know, well, Revelation's about Jesus coming, that is certainly true. But understand, that's a part of Revelation. Revelation is about Jesus. It's about revealing Jesus, unveiling Jesus, letting everybody see Jesus, who he is. I mean, he's not only the coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's not only that, he's the coming judge. Amen. He, not only that, he's the Lamb which was slain. I mean, come on. I mean, Jesus in Revelation, he is all over the book of Revelation. And so it only makes sense, capital C, that the Holy Spirit would be a part of unveiling the Lord Jesus Christ. It only makes sense that if we're going to unveil, if we're going to show everybody Jesus, that he is in fact God, it only makes sense the Holy Spirit would be involved in it. John 16 and verse 13, Jesus said this, describing the Holy Spirit, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Watch what Jesus said. he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit came as a comforter and came and had many functions. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But he came to glorify Jesus. He came to let everybody know about Jesus. He didn't come to speak of himself. By the way, one of my biggest problems I have with the modern day charismatic movement is the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would say, no. The Holy Spirit would say, do not emphasize me. The Holy Spirit would say, talk about Jesus. Emphasize Jesus. You know, we have, you know, in our day, we have folks, you know, well, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost and all these kind of things that you know, emphasizing the gifts of the Spirit, emphasizing all these. None of that ever was meant to be emphasized. What's the Holy Spirit want? He wants to give glory to Jesus. Always. Always, 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 always. So again, understand the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely essential that the Holy Spirit magnify, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So it would only make sense that if we're going to unveil Jesus, if we're going to show the world Jesus, if we're going to pull back the curtain and say, okay, here is Jesus Christ. Here's the Messiah. Here's the anointed one. He has come. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Hey, this is Jesus. And we're going to pull back that and say, he's coming again. It only makes sense the Holy Spirit would be involved. It only makes sense. And the main reason, though, that I believe that the seven spirits here it's talking about, that I believe that is the Holy Spirit of God, is because of this part, and that is the signing of the letter from the Father. And verse 5, very, very clearly, him which is, which was, which is to come. Okay, that is obviously a reference to the Father. We've already supported that with Scripture, talked about that. And verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, very, very clear there. I mean, I don't think anybody could argue that. It would be very odd to leave out the Holy Spirit. When you're talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the signing of a letter, you know, to say from the Father and the Son and not include the Spirit would not make a whole lot of sense. In fact, look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Notice the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, the love of God, the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And again, this is a ending of a letter and a signing of a letter, if you will. And again, the idea, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, very rare for them not to be together, not to be used together. So that to me is I read it and it just makes sense to me. Somebody says and several people believe it's talking about angels. Well, a couple thoughts there. First of all, angels are not equal to the Father and the Son. To sign a letter from the Father, the Son, and angels, that would be something that's not done in Scripture. They are not equal to the Father and the Son. That is an argument. Angels are not called spirits in the book of Revelation. Okay, they are not called spirits. Now, there are verses that, you know, there were seven angels that did something, and I have no problem with seven angels, but that doesn't prove that these seven spirits, or this reference to seven spirits, that's talking about angels. Angels are not called spirits. One of the biggest proofs to me that this is not talking about angels is angels stand and worship in the presence of God. And these, it appears, are not. It says from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Typically, when an angel is in the presence of God, it is very clear that they are standing, they are worshiping God. So again, those are some of the arguments that I would give that these are not angels, but that this is the Holy Spirit. But the best way to understand Scripture is to use Scripture. Amen. Better than commentaries, better just use the Bible to interpret the Bible. And so I went on into Revelation, and we have the references, same idea here. Look at Revelation 3, verse 1. Revelation 3 and verse 1. By the way, in your study, if you're going to study the Bible, you are always better off. That's why I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. You're always better off to use the Bible to study the Bible. Okay, just because so-and-so author said so, that doesn't mean it's so. Because God said so, that means it's so. So you're always better off. Now again, God doesn't just tell us everything, because if he did, then we'd be God. So we don't know everything, and we have to speculate a lot, and we also have to trust God. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. Amen? You know, you say, I don't know why God doesn't just tell me. Well, maybe God just wants you to trust him. You ever think about that? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So there's going to be a lot of things he's not going to tell us. There's going to be a lot of things he's not going to show us. There's going to be a lot of things we're not going to understand, because he wants us to trust him by faith. And then there's the verse, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. There are some secret things, they just belong to God. Why is that? Because he's God. Are there some things, as your children were growing up, were there some things you knew that they didn't know? Oh, yeah, lots of things. Okay, and you didn't tell them, right? Because they were something that was your business and not their business. And to let them in on it would be to bring them up to your equality, and certainly you can't do that. Maybe you're a boss at work, and are there some things as a boss you know that your employees do not know? Well, sure, there are many things, and again, if they knew all those things, then they would be the boss. Well, same thing with God. And so you're always better to, whatever God, I'm not saying don't use commentaries, just know what, they're just what a man says. Amen? And the best thing is to use the Bible to interpret the Bible. Revelation 3:1 really helps us. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Okay? Now, you have to find out who's talking here. And it's Jesus. You say, how do we know that? Well, the words are in red, of course. It's not how you know it. But anyway, just because the words are in red, Jesus said it all. Okay, the whole book could be in red, really. But anyway, the main thing is, this is Jesus, and he's speaking. And these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. So now we find out Jesus has the seven spirits of God. Whatever the seven spirits is, Jesus has it. All right, whatever it means, whatever it is, he has it. Okay, and again, the only thing that throws us off on, if it said, he that hath the Holy Spirit of God, we'd all say, amen, brother, hallelujah, I got it. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. But it bothers us because it says seven spirits, right? That's why we kind of, I didn't know the Holy Spirit was broken down into seven. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Again, we'll only speculate because the Bible doesn't. You say, I found seven things in the Bible that could be attributed to the Holy Spirit, and it has to mean that. You're going to have to stretch, really. You stretch a lot to do that. Because how many gifts of the Spirit are there? There's not seven, I can tell you that. So, because everybody tries that. You know, we try to fit these things in so we can understand it. That's all that bothers us. If it said the Holy Spirit, we would all say, I got it. All right, but here's what we do know, because we took the Scripture to find out. We know he, Jesus, hath whatever these seven spirits are. Okay, he hath the seven spirits of God. And also he has seven stars. We talked about that a little bit. That has nothing to do with this, so I'm not going to get off on that rabbit track right now. All right, Revelation 4, verse 5. So Jesus has these seven spirits of God. Revelation 4, verse 5. And And we'll go back to all these verses later on, okay? I'm just using them to kind of tie this together. Revelation 4, 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are, there it is, the seven spirits of God. Now that's interesting, isn't it? So here we have the throne again, and we have these seven lamps of fire burning, and they're called again the seven spirits of God. And again, if it just said, which is the Holy Spirit, we'd all say, got it. Boy, that was easy. But again, you know, God doesn't mind challenging us a little bit. And so now we have to, okay, so these seven spirits of God that Jesus has, and here they are described as, wow, there's lightning, there's thundering, there's voices, and then there's fire. Seven lamps of fire. Well, I have to go back to the Bible again, and I'm going to go to Matthew 3, verse 11. And I could have gone other places. Matthew 3 and verse 11. Are you all with me still? All right. I'm going kind of fast because I'm excited. Matthew 3:11. Just write the references down. It'll be good. You can go back and study. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. John the Baptist here speaking. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay? Who's that? It's talking about Jesus is going to come, and he's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, just a little hint here. He's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. He's going to have the Holy Ghost's power in his life when he's baptizing. So he would have to have, amen, he would have to have the Holy Spirit. So he's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost, and there's fire. Look at Acts 2. You knew I was going there, didn't you? Acts 2, verse 3. Verse 1 says it was the day of Pentecost. Okay? Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And God literally opened the door for these people to preach and teach to those who could not understand their language, and a miracle took place. But again, the thing I want to emphasize, without getting into the whole issue here, I want to emphasize the fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. So again, Revelation 4, 5 tells me a little more about these seven spirits. They are identified with fire. And Revelation 3, 1 told me that Jesus has them, or this, whatever these seven spirits are. So I find out those two things. Now, I'm going to go on in Revelation and go to Revelation 5 and verse 6, where again I see these seven spirits. And again, without getting into the context of what all is going on, we kind of are in Revelation 5 because we have a book that cannot be opened. And it's sealed with seven seals. And nobody can open this book. It's not possible to be opened. Well, Revelation 5, 6, and I beheld. By the way, Revelation 5 will absolutely just, it is just so exciting. Honestly, you just, I hope you're reading ahead. I wish you would. I wish you'd read the book of Revelation through. Just read it over and over. It's going to take us several years to get through the book of Revelation. And it would be great if you just read it. Revelation 5 is just, it's just powerful. Anyway, verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. Anybody know who that is? Okay, it's got to be Jesus, all right? It's referring to Jesus. We know that. So he's a lamb as it had been slain. Now watch this about this lamb. And by the way, do you really think when we see Jesus, he will have seven horns and seven eyes? Okay, I don't think so. I think we'll see him. We've already had a description of him. We talked about that the last time when I went over. And so anyway, but here as John describes it, a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Now watch this, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, again, this is the Lamb who has these spirits. This is the Lamb that has, as we learned in Revelation 3:1, and the spirits which are identified with fire, but now they are identified with horns and eyes, and I think most specifically the eyes. Horns always represent power. Eyes represent wisdom or knowledge, okay? Over and over, Scripture tells us this. And so he sent forth, though, these, and this is so important to understand, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, but the Holy Spirit, his work is so broad. The Holy Spirit is, he's so busy. He works. He's doing so many things. I mean, he's a comforter. He's the convictor. You know, he does all these things. He is power. You know, the fire, the power. So many different things that are involved with the Holy Spirit of God. And so, as I think about the eyes, I think about conviction. You know, I think about conviction. But I don't have to think about it very long. What I have to do is, by the way, notice again in Revelation 5:6, and just you ought to make a note in your Bible or in your notes somewhere that we have the Trinity again. Anytime you can see doctrine, it is a good thing. It is a blessing. But again, we see the Trinity here, because here we have and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns. As we come into this passage, we have the one verse 1 of chapter 5, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. There's the Father. And it's in verse 6, stood a lamb. There's the Son, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits. There's the Holy Spirit. Just make a little note, write it down. Again, a reference to the Trinity. But now, what about these eyes? And the eyes are, you know, to me it's important. And so really, if you have a concordance, if you have a computer program, which you all ought to have, it's called Power Bible Plus. And if you need one, come and see me. I'll get you one. But I've given away, I don't know how many of them, but it's an awesome program. But you might look up eyes, and that would be a good thing. And Zechariah 3. Go to Zechariah chapter 3. What time is it? Am I getting in trouble again? I'm in trouble. Forget it. Don't go to Zechariah 3. Ushers, I need you to come. All right, we'll go ahead and go to Zechariah 3 real quick. For some, it'll take that long just to get there. Whew. It's really hot up here. Probably cold out there, right? Zechariah 3 and verse 8. All right, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Who's that talking about? Anybody know? Jesus. All right, very good. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Now, watch this. He's a branch in verse 8. He's a stone in verse 9. Again, a reference to. We know he's not a chunk of wood. We know he's not a rock. Okay? I understand all that. But again, you have to understand the references here. And when you look at in preaching could take place about the branch, preaching could take place about the stone, and in fact much preaching has taken place because he is the chief cornerstone for Jesus to be referred to as the stone, the rock. That's all over the scripture. But here's seven eyes. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And again, this is because of Jesus coming. And so we have seven eyes. And again, the number seven, and we'll talk about this, but in this reference, it would only, seven eyes. That means perfect. Seven is the number of perfection, the number of completion. Seven, perfect watch care over the people. Perfect watch care over the rebuilding of the temple. That's the context in Zechariah. Perfect watch care over the government. Perfect watch care. He's got it all under control. He's watching everything. And he is all wise. Okay? And his eyes are on Zerubbabel as they rebuild the temple. He's making sure everything is done just like he said. Perfect watch care. But look over at Zechariah 4 and verse 10. And we get just a little more information about these eyes. Zechariah 4 and verse 10. And the Bible says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" By the way, that'll preach too. But let's go on. "For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven." Talking about those seven eyes. And again, Zerubbabel is going to rebuild the temple. God is watching over that. God is making sure everything is done just right. And the eyes are described here. It says, "They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." Now again, I understand the Father, He knows everything. I understand that. The Son is, He's God. We know that. But the Holy Spirit is the one that moves everywhere, all the time, constantly. I mean, he's convicting us here, and he's convicting somebody else somewhere else, and someone's about to do something wrong, and he's telling them don't do that, and he's working in their heart, and he's guiding somebody. They're sitting clear across the world somewhere, and they're reading their Bible, and they're sitting there, and they're saying, "God, please show me this," and the Holy Spirit's guiding them into the truth. Do you follow what I'm saying? I mean, he is very active all over. And so, again, we see these eyes. They see all and they know all as well. That's why when we're convicted, it's not very, very rare to somebody, a human, say something to me that necessarily convicts me. Now, it might. I mean, if I find out I did something wrong to somebody or something like that, I mean, I might be convicted about that. But the Holy Spirit, the conviction, why do you feel so guilty about that? Well, it doesn't look that bad. It may not look that bad to the outsider because they don't know what really went on. But guess who does know what really went on? Yeah, the Holy Spirit does. And so those eyes, He sees all, He knows all. The eyes, again, and so the Holy Spirit, I believe, as he goes to and fro through the whole earth, I believe that is the reference there. And he is the guide. And so the Lamb, back to Revelation 5 and verse 6, the Lamb has these seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth. Again, the reference there is sent forth into all the earth. Now, you want to talk about Revelation 5. And who has the power? Who can open the book? Who can do it? Well, we'll find out when we get there that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he is the one. But again, he has the Spirit. And we'll talk about that next week because I have totally run out of time. But I know you may have questions, and I'll be honest with you, I have a lot of questions myself. But anyway, because it's just so good. But understand this. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, it should not shock us that in the beginning of the book of Revelation that we would see clearly that all three are involved completely in unveiling who Jesus is and unveiling everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. It should not shock us at all. So that's where I'm going to leave you today. Father, thank you again for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for your word that we can have and we can read and we can understand. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us into the truth of the Scripture. And I pray that we would have a little better understanding and maybe Lord, that we might understand a little more about ourselves and how little we really do know and how much, Lord, you have to teach us. And I pray it'd be a humbling thing for each of us here. Please bless our morning service. Speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name.